Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Sugar-Coated Murder is proud to be a part of
the Oracle Network.
Welcome to Sugar-Coated Murder Podcast, a brilliant true crime podcast hosted by two zany sisters, all while baking up delicious treats in their kitchen. Here are your podcast hosts, Karen Devaney and Ann Varner.
Hello, Karen Devaney.
OMG, here we are.
Oh, finally. We're it's November.
Back in the kitchen.
We are. We're cooking.
And that's kind of cool.
I'm peeling apples.
I hear it. I hear you peeling apples. I hear it. I see it. And I smell it.
Smell it.
Yes. So we've ended our October series because October was over. I got to tell you, that's a lot.
Lord have mercy.
Not that it's a lot of work. It's just a lot of logistics.
It's a lot of scaring.
It's a little heavy on the heart. Yes.
And you know, when we go out to remote places like that, we can't drink.
No,
we got to stay stone cold sober.
We have to stay sober and we have to have bodyguards.
Exactly. And so, our kids are very happy that that's over.
I know they are. I know they are. So we're back in the kitchen and you're baking. What are you baking up for us?
I am. You know, it's November. It's a cold and rainy day here in Charleston.
Yeah, because we went from summer to winter.
We did. Winter is upon us.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm making apple pie bars.
Oh, because love. It sounds delightful
you just
and delicious.
A little apple, cinnamon, yes. Nutmeg, and butter goodness.
Yes.
Here goes my timer.
Timer.
So I went ahead and got started while you were getting set it up on the
set
short,
it up.
Set it up.
Mm-hmm.
Set it up. Mm-hmm. On the shortbread crust. I think we need a couple more minutes.
Okay. Smells good.
And that's, you know, just a typical shortbread crust. Butter, flour, sugar, vanilla.
What kind of vanilla?
Killa vanilla.
That's right, girl. That Killa vanilla is good stuff.
Yep. Mama's here visiting. We had to hold her back from taking a sip out
she
of the Killa vanilla.
She wanted a swig of vanilla because it smells so good with that bourbon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to start off this podcast by saying, as of today, which I think is November 6th, 2021, Daniel Robinson is still missing. Just want to say, he's still missing.
And there's just not a lot of media coverage. It's all
there's
quiet.
There's no media coverage. There are no answers from anybody. I think maybe the Arizona police have taken a nap.
I don't know.
I don't know what's going on.
They may be reporting it in Arizona news, but it is not being reported nationwide.
It is not. No, it does not have nationwide coverage. It is quite frustrating because this is a professional, young professional man who leaves his job site in broad daylight and somehow disappears into thin air, but leaves behind a wrecked Jeep, his clothes.
Yep.
I mean, all these crazy things, and it's like he just vanished.
He vanished.
But I don't believe he just vanished.
No, somebody
knows
something.
And in my heart, in my soul's bones, because I guess my soul has bones.
Yes, wow, sugar. Sure.
I know. But I feel like he's still alive.
Oh, do you?
I do. I feel like he is still alive. And he either has amnesia and somebody is not treating him well.
Oh, no.
I think that there's something terrible has happened. But I feel like he's still alive out there.
Oh, wow.
But I just wanted to start this off by saying he's still missing and it's upsetting me.
Well, thank you for reminding everybody.
Yeah, no problem.
Let me tell you a little bit more about my apple pie.
I wish you would. Yeah. I just wish you would.
So on that shortbread crust, mm-hmm. you're going to put like an apple pie filling that you make homemade. So it's not like a soupy.
It ain't from a can.
It's not from a can.
No, girl.
No. It's not going to work.
No.
And you bake it all up into this ooey gooey goodness. And then you make homemade salted caramel. And that gets drizzled on top of
the bars. Stop it with the salted caramel, because I want some for my coffee in the morning.
Well, I might be able to help you out with that.
That would be so much fun.
If you're good, it depends on how much bourbon you have. Oh, I know you're down half a drink already.
So we're drinking some bourbon. My sister was smart and made it a little weak. We're having some bourbon and Coke.
Well, it's shot in half, so I guess weak. Sure.
Yeah. And so anyway, it's... But it's going down rather smoothly, which, you know, I'm a guzzler.
I make a fine drink. I don't know what to tell you.
If I were in a bar, I'd tip you double. Just saying.
And so. I myself am enjoying a nice, heavy, warm glass of Cabernet Sauvignon. Nice red wine.
Sauvignon. That's very exciting.
So that's where we are right now.
That's what we're doing. So,
let's talk about murder. I'm cooking. Let's talk about murder.
M-U-R-D-E-R.
No, okay.
I don't know. Right. I wanted to make up a song, but it just didn't work.
That's not what we
do. Like the Mickey Mouse Club. It's like the Murder House Club or
something.
There's
a reason why we weren't on that show.
M-U-R-D-E-R-H-O-U-S-E. I did it.
Oh, wow. Murder House. There you go. Look at you.
Yes. Okay. So I'm gonna take us to Laurel, Maryland.
All right, I'm familiar with the area.
I'm gonna talk about this person named Jasmine Gilbert.
Okay.
People call her Jazzy.
I love that. She's Jazzy.
So she was born in 1988, and she is severely disabled with cerebral palsy and paraplegia.
Lord have mercy. Are you freaking kidding me?
Why are you? I am literally two lines into my murder case, and you're already hands on hip.
I already know. It's going to be bad.
I told you it's going to be bad.
Lord have mercy.
Welcome back to Sugar Coated Murder Podcast, where we bake and also talk about murder, girl.
I know, but some murders are just bad.
All
murder is bad.
It's a rough one. This is rough. But buckle up, buttercup, because here we go.
Fasten your belt strap.
She is completely bedridden. She is nonverbal. She's fed through a tube. She is adored by her mother. And they actually communicate through facial expressions and blinking.
Nice.
Yes. So in 2013, Jazzy is 25 years old. She lived with her mom, Tina Towler. I know. It sounds like a rock star.
T.T.
And her mom's boyfriend, James Ferguson.
Okay.
Because Jasmine's mom worked. She worked at Verizon. She worked outside the home.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the nature of Jasmine's health, she had nurses that would come in during the day in shifts to help care for Jazzy.
Nice.
Yep. So on May 2nd, 2013, the morning duty nurse shows up at Tina's apartment around 7:30 in the morning for her shift. Nobody answered the door, which is a little odd. She became concerned and called the police for a welfare check.
Right.
So the police arrived and entered the apartment around 8:20 a.m. And the apartment was very quiet.
Oh.
Eerily quiet.
Oh, no.
So police, it's a one-bedroom apartment. It's not huge. Police enter the bedroom and find the bodies of Tina and James.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Both are deceased. Both have suffered trauma and stab wounds to their upper body.
Oh my gosh.
And because of the nature of the wounds, it is apparent that this is not a murder-suicide scenario.
Oh.
So EMS is called to transport the bodies. While awaiting the EMS, the police start doing their job, which is looking around, you know, investigating, doing what they do. And they discover a small hospital bed in the corner of the bedroom with a sheet covering what looks like another body.
Oh, no.
They remove the sheet, and they see a young woman staring back at them. She is alive.
Oh.
She is unharmed.
Thank you, Jesus.
But she is shaking from the trauma that she has witnessed.
Yes.
So neighbors were in shock. Tina and James lived a highly social life. They were known to party heavily with lots of people in and out of the house, but they were thought of as very nice people that would go out of their way to help others.
Right. Well, that's nice.
Yep. So Tina's ex, Jay Towler, does not live very far away.
Oh.
He is cleared as a suspect early on.
Okay.
He had remained amicable with Tina, so his relationship with Jazzy did not suffer. Because Jazzy is not his child,
right,
but he had a relationship with her.
Yeah, I mean, it would be difficult to have a relationship with the mother and not...
Yeah, of course.
You know?
So he still helped out with Jazzy when Tina needed him, which was really nice. So he was in total shock over what happened to Tina and James. Even Jay thought highly of James, who was known for his love of cooking for others.
Aww.
Yes.
I like to cook for others.
And Jay is also blown away by what Jazzy must have witnessed. He said even with the sheet over her, she would have heard what happened to her mom.
Oh.
And Jazzy is able to show emotion. So she has emotions.
Right.
She cries when she's unhappy. And listening to music brings a smile to her face.
Right.
So she can hear well and she responds to emotions. So whoever attacked Tina and James must have had some awareness of Jazzy. And they must have known enough to not be threatened over her presence.
Right.
Maybe they knew she was nonverbal.
Maybe.
They didn't know her well enough to not kill her mother. Or whatever. So now, Jazzy's devoted mom, who was her entire world, is gone.
Ugh.
Of course, the scene is processed in the investigation.
Investigation?
That's the word we're talking. I'm going to take another sip.
Get your...
It's the investigation.
Investigation. Well, how big of a sip are we going?
Oh, girl. I must have been parched. Lord have mercy, I'm standing up. I might have to lean.
Oh, God.
Okay, so during the investigation, they start looking, of course, at ex relationships of James and Tina. And a man's name comes up as an ex of Tina's, and his name is Thurston Yerby.
Thurston?
I did not know anybody else was named Thurston except for the
Thurston
man on the...
Thurston Howell the Third.
I thought that was the only Thurston on the planet. Because I ain't never heard of no other Thurston. But this here is Thurston Yerby.
Yerby?
Okay. Yeah. Not Furby. Let's talk about Thirsty Thurston. Thirsty Thurston worked with Jay. Tina's ex. He had dated, some people say he had dated Tina. Some people say he had a relationship with Tina, not necessarily of the dating nature. They had had perhaps a physical encounter.
Oh, I understand.
Got it. So, and he knew Jazzy, and he had even helped Tina take Jazzy out to a Christmas party one time.
Oh.
So he knew Jazzy.
He was very familiar.
A video shows Yerby's truck entering and leaving Tina's apartment complex around the time of the murder. What they predicted. What
Thurston,
the time.
What have you done? Oh,
Thurston. I mean, that's a classy name. Don't mess it up.
Is it a classy name, I mean, or is it a cartoon name?
Well, it's kind of a cartoon name. Okay, so I'm going to tell you that Jay Towler had at one point been roommates with Thurston Yerby. He was completely verklempt.
Do we know how old Thurston is? Did you tell us?
Well, I didn't tell you how old anybody was, because I didn't feel like anybody's age mattered except for Jazzy's.
Well, Thurston just presents as an old man to me.
He was like in their age group.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So he was verklempt when Yerby was finally arrested. He said he had known Yerby and his family for almost 10 years. And he was unaware that Yerby and Tina had ever been in any kind of a relationship, although one of Thurston Yerby's friends, quote unquote, said that he had caught Tina and Thurston using cocaine and being naked together.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
But, you know, rumors are ugly. I'm just saying, no. Rumors are not nice.
No.
So,
dear.
So, the autopsy shows that James had been beaten in the head with a frying pan. And a heavy vase, and he had also been stabbed 8 times.
Mm.
And he had defensive wounds, showing that there had been a struggle.
Gosh.
Tina had been struck with a heavy flashlight so hard she had the imprint of some of the letters on her face and body.
No.
Yeah. Most of her stab wounds were on her back. At least 6 of them were in her back.
Oh.
And Yerby's DNA was found amongst her nooks and crannies.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So there was indication of a sexual assault, even though, well, I'll get to the even though.
Oh, no.
So, in the meantime, Jazzy is released from the hospital and into the custody of the state of Maryland.
Oh, no.
Just nobody.
Oh.
And she remains in a group home owned and run by the state of Maryland to this day.
Oh, gosh.
Because this person took away her everything. Her freaking everything. So police think that Thurston was high and horny.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And decided, I'm telling you, and decided to pay Tina a visit, kind of like a one-sided booty call.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Like, I'm going to come over for a booty call, even though you don't want a booty call.
Right,
I'm coming
right.
for the booty call.
Right.
And they think that she let him in because she knows who he is.
Of course.
Right? And once he got in, he probably made a pass at her. She denied him. And then a struggle ensued, and he chased her into the bedroom and locked her in the bedroom with himself. And there's Jazzy in her hospital
bed. Oh, no.
And then he proceeds to attack her, sexually assault her in front of her fucking daughter.
Oh, gosh.
Police think that what happened was, as he was attacking Tina, he thinks he attacked Tina with the flashlight before enduring the sexual assault to incapacitate her. Ooh, that was a big word.
It was, wow.
So, and then James arrived home, broke down the door because the door was kicked in, and then was attacked and overcome by Thurston. Yeah, so it was a nightmare. That was just a complete scene of chaos. So they think that what happened was once he killed James, then he went back after Tina and killed her because he couldn't leave anybody, no witnesses. And this is just all about a stupid booty call.
For heaven's sake, that's it. He wasn't trying to rob them, no.
No.
He wasn't trying to take anybody's benefits or...
Nope. He left them both dying at the foot of Jazzy's hospital bed.
Oh, my God.
And then out of some kind of guilt, covered Jazzy's face with a sheet. Covered her whole body and face with a sheet.
My gosh.
Did he think maybe the sheet would just quietly suffocate her?
Oh, no.
I don't either. So, so Jay said that Jazzy may not have really seen anything, but feels like that she would have heard all of it. And it would have been incredibly traumatizing.
I would say it could be that he put the sheet on beforehand.
Well, even laying in the bed, she couldn't move. So all she would see is the ceiling and maybe some shadows. But I got the feeling she didn't have really great eyesight.
Right.
So anyway, but she would have heard all of it. So Yerby goes to trial. One of the witnesses at trial was a quote-unquote friend of Yerby's.
Oh, wow.
And that witness testified that earlier that evening, Yerby had been, I keep saying Yerby because I don't like Thurston for him. I just think Thurston is too rich of a name for him. So he had been asked to leave a party that this witness was at because he started groping somebody's mom.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my word.
Yes. And then they kicked him out of that party. And as he was leaving, and he had been doing drugs and alcohol, and as he was leaving,
he was doing alcohol. Oh, my gosh.
I'll do some alcohol just because you said that.
I cannot believe he was doing alcohol.
He was doing drugs and
alcohol. Oh, no.
Anyway, as he was leaving, he said, I need to go find a woman to F with.
So then he
drove around and went over to Tina's house. And poor Tina, she's at home with her daughter. Waiting for James to come home, probably from work or something.
Let's get on to the trial and tell me where this man resides.
Okay. Oh, my God. It's so funny because I actually put resides.
Oh, look at us go.
I know. So, it goes to trial. Takes 10 hours to convict this
piece of trash.
Yep. Yeah, Mama said idiot. I'll take that one. He's convicted of 2 counts of second-degree murder. He's given 2 30-year prison sentences consecutively.
Nice.
Check mark.
Love it.
He currently resides in a maximum security prison in Jessup, Maryland, and it's called the Jessup Correctional Institution in Jessup, Maryland.
Oh.
And like I said, Jazzy is in a group home. When he was convicted, Jay said that they had decided not to tell her about the conviction. They didn't even tell her about the trial because they felt like they're hoping that she's forgotten about it a little bit. And that she just seems to be happy right now. They play a lot of music for her and try to keep her in a happy place.
Well, that's good.
And so he said, we didn't even bother to tell her about any of this because we don't want to re-traumatize her. It's bad enough that she's now in a state home. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad to be in a state home. I'm just saying she doesn't have any people.
Right.
I'm hoping that Thurston Yerby is getting a sheet pulled over his face every night.
Oh, I hope
that But not in a good way.
Right. I hear what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? Yeah. And I mean, if he gets beaten with a flashlight and leaves some imprinted letters on him, I wouldn't have a problem with it either.
Exactly.
So anyway, that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Well, my goodness, Shazam. That's quite a doozy.
I told you, well, we had to kick off. I mean, it's been a while since we did a murder.
It is indeed.
So we had to kick it off right.
Whew. All right. So, well, let me give you a status.
Yeah, give us some update.
These apple bars are not only gooey, gooey apple and shortbread, but there's also a delicious streusel topping.
Not a streusel.
A streusel,
and
yes.
And a salted caramel?
Yes.
Girl, it's got all the things
all
I love.
All the things. So you've got that, you know, the apples that
Does
are
it
in
have
the...
any bourbon?
Yes,
bourbon.
It's got the Killer Vanilla.
Oh, well, that's right. That's made with some bourbon.
Exactly.
That's doing alcohol, too.
Your face is already red.
Red as this Chick-fil-A box.
For heaven's sakes. What am I going to do with you?
Whatever.
You're a guzzler.
I can't help it. It's good. When it's good, it's good.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I made my streusel, which has got oats, brown sugar, butter, some cinnamon, and a little bit of flour. And you mix that all together. I have a fancy pie cutter, pie crust cutter, whatever thing.
Where would you have ever gotten that?
Pampered Chef, but it don't work.
Excuse me?
It doesn't. I do better with my hands than I do with that cutter.
I bought you a pie cutter.
I understand, but it doesn't work. Take it back.
I didn't get it from... Did I get it from...
You did.
I did. Pampered Chef.
It has a Pampered Chef.
Mine's all bent up and it works.
Maybe I need to bend mine. Run it through the garbage disposal and see what happens. So the apple pie bars are in.
How much time?
I did not. This recipe calls for an 8x8 baking pan. I have an 8x6 baking pan. So you cook it for 30 to 35 minutes or until your streusel is golden brown. So I put it in for 40 minutes just to give it a little extra time because I like, you don't want my apples to be cooked. I don't want them to be crisp when I bite into them.
Yeah, I know. I'm just sitting here thinking that little 8x6 pan looks like someone can give us like four.
Well, it depends on what size bar you require. But yes, I would
require a big chunky bar.
Okay. Well, you might not be getting a big chunky bar, sugar.
That ain't right.
You might have to go somewhere else for that.
That seems rude.
Yeah, the 8x8 would have been better. And it is a small bar that you cut.
Okay.
Whatever.
No
We're going to make do with what we have. And that's that. I hear your glass is empty. Please. The first one is complimentary. Feel free to help yourself to the next.
That's all I needed to hear. All right. Well, let's go on pause so I can refresh my drinky poo.
Yes. And then I'll tell you the story of another murder.
Not another one.
Another murder.
Another murder.
People are out there killing people and it's making me mad.
It makes me mad too. So mad that I don't like them.
Me neither.
And I wish bad things upon them.
And I want to punch them all in the face.
Right in the throat.
Let's do it.
Okay, we're going to Jessup, Maryland, y'all. All right, I'm going on pause.
Welcome to an undisclosed location. We are Murder Incorporated.
Give me one good reason why people should listen to our podcast, buddy.
Because you're getting true crime from a nerd and a murderer's son all wrapped into one.
Yes, my father is a murderer, and you are indeed a nerd, buddy.
What else sets us apart, Harley?
I truly believe our empathy for the victims and their families shines through every episode.
Also, 100% of all our listeners have not been murdered.
We are Murder Incorporated.
And we're back.
We're back. I've made my sister another drink, and this time I just put half a shot of bourbon in because it seems that a shot and a half was a little too much for her.
Well, I mean, I'm a little lit up, but it's okay. Who cares?
Well, I care.
Where am I going?
Well, I care because I need for you to be interactive in the podcast.
I ain't passed out yet.
All right, let's go. You ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
Mama, if I start to snooze, nod off, just come over and just stand here and be me. Okay. Thank you, Mama.
Okay. In January of 2018, Philip Snyder and his, not Schneider, but just Snyder.
It's like,
no,
oh
I saw you
God.
Going. No, just Snyder. And his wife, Roberta, they went to Memphis, Tennessee to visit Graceland.
Well, that's nice.
I love Graceland.
I've never been there, but I always wanted to.
I don't know why you never put that on your list of things to do.
I got such a list.
Yeah.
And it's on it.
All right. Well, we might go. You never know. If for those listeners that might not know, I don't know who the heck you are, but just in case, Graceland is the loving home of Elvis Presley. Mm-hmm. If you don't know who Elvis Presley
is, he ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Right. And you have to Google that because that's just too much to get into. 73-year-old Philip returned to his Hartville, Ohio home, but Roberta did not.
Roberta Donovan falls in love with Elvis.
She stayed. She said,
I'm staying right here in the safari room.
Not coming home. Philip told Roberta's brother that she had died while they were traveling in Tennessee.
Oh, no, Roberta. Mm-hmm.
He said she started choking on some phlegm.
Ew.
They were in the parking lot of the Days Inn that they were staying in.
Yeah, yeah.
And there happened to be an ambulance over across the parking lot that he was able to wave over.
Oh, good.
But when they came over, she was dead. So he said, she died. I don't know what to do with her. Will you take her somewhere to be cremated? And they said, yeah, we can do that for you.
Wait.
Don't ask any questions. That is what he told his brother-in-law. And that is what, that is it. Period. End of conversation.
Period.
Period. All right. So according to Philip, the EMS people loaded her up on an ambulance and took her away. And that was the last that he saw of his wife of 53 years. Because he was so distraught, and in shock, he forgot to get the name of the ambulance company.
Stop it.
Of the crematorium where the EMS workers were going to take her.
No, no.
So, of course, Roberta's brother is
Schneider,
like,
oh, are you dumb? I mean, you think we're dumb. Schneider thinks we're dumb.
Not Schneider. It's Snyder.
Oh. Snyder.
No Schneider. It's Snyder.
What's this guy's first name?
Philip. Phil. We can call him Phil.
I was going to call him Bill.
You can call him Bill.
Bill Schneider.
Whatever you want. You can whatever you want.
So okay, well, he'll always be Bill Schneider to me.
So Roberta's brother, of course, is very upset that they have lost his sister's body somewhere. Like, where the heck is Roberta?
I don't know.
So he does what any brother would do, I hope, and goes to...
goes and has a drink.
At the bar. No, he goes to the Hartville Police Department, and he says, this is what my brother-in-law told me. Can y'all help me find Roberta?
Oh, my gosh.
And they said, oh, my gosh, of course. Of course we're going to help you find your sister.
I'm so glad they said yes.
Of course.
Okay.
Gosh. All right, are you ready?
Not really. I don't think it's going to go well.
Now, I will tell you, Roberta was not in good health. So it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that she did pass away.
In the parking lot, choking.
On phlegm, yeah, because supposedly she had been diagnosed with congestive heart failure.
Okay.
And her husband believes that choking on phlegm is the way you go with congestive heart failure.
Okay, all right.
She had also been diagnosed with cancer. She was not in the best of health,
okay.
But nobody was expecting Roberta to die. It's not like they were sitting vigil or whatever.
No, she had gone to Graceland.
And as a matter of fact, they were all very surprised when he said that just after the new year, they were going, that they had gone. And he wanted, it was her dying wish.
So she must have known when she was going to die.
And they were all like, is her dying wish? And
yeah.
He said, yes. And
oh,
I
yeah.
wanted to get her to Graceland. That is what she wanted.
And so as soon as she saw it, she kicked it.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was all she wanted.
It was
she was
too
living
much.
For the moment.
Too much. So the Hartville Police Department, they call every ambulance company in the Memphis area. And they try to find Roberta.
Mm.
But they don't have any luck. They even try to call the medical examiners, the medical examiners, but there was no record anywhere, no death certificate, no record of Roberta.
I don't like this.
She's
poor
just
Roberta.
Not there. So the funeral homes didn't have any record. There just was, that's it. There's no Roberta.
There's just none.
And something about Philip's story wasn't adding up. Right.
Do we know that she went to Memphis? Did she make it to Graceland?
So police go to question Philip about Roberta's death. You know, and Philip said, you know, I've told y'all everything I know. Except I do want to let you know, these scars I have here on my head are from an operation I've had to have for some brain aneurysm. So my memory is not good. If I've left something out, I'm sorry.
It's the brain aneurysm that left it out. They must have removed it when they removed the aneurysm. They removed
those specific
memories.
And now remember, he is 73, so he's, you know.
I care.
He just didn't remember.
I know some very surprised 73-year-olds.
Yeah. He said, All right, let me think about it for a minute. Now, on the way from Ohio to Tennessee, we did stop at a Ramada Inn in Kentucky. So police were able to pull the video surveillance.
Oh, yeah, maybe he left right in Kentucky.
And
he was confused.
The video camera, luckily, was right next to the room that he
rented.
And Philip checked into the hotel, and he went to the room, and the next day he got up, and he left the room, and he checked out of the hotel, and he got in his truck, and he drove away. But there was no Roberta in Kentucky.
Oh, good
and
God.
He told that police officer, she was there. I don't know why she's not on video. She was there.
She was a vampire.
She was there.
They don't show up on video.
She was there.
You can't take their picture. That's what it was. She done turned into a vampire.
They even show him still pictures of him doing all of these things with no Roberta. And he said, listen, she was there. I don't know why they didn't. I don't know.
I mean, I spoke to her the whole time.
I don't know. I just don't know.
My heavens.
So the police officer said, I think you're lying. I think that you're not telling the truth, Philip. And what you need to do is tell me the truth so we can find Roberta and give her family some closure.
Well, of course.
Well, Philip just breaks down. And they did very smartly bring his son into the home.
Oh.
His son and daughter-in-law. Travis,
very distraught. Where the heck is he?
I don't even know where he is.
He is laying at Mama's feet on the blanket crying. Just laying there crying.
Yeah.
Come on.
Trapped. Nobody. No, we're doing a very important story.
Maybe he's upset that he just realized that Roberta is a vampire.
Maybe. Roberta could be here. We don't know.
Right here.
She could be here.
We don't know because we can't get her picture.
Exactly. So the son is there, and of course, Philip becomes very emotional, and he breaks down and he says, all right, I'll tell you the truth.
Mm-mm. This is not going to be the truth either. I can feel it in my bones.
Roberta passed away while we were traveling through Cincinnati.
Now we're in Cincinnati.
So before they even left the state of Ohio, she has passed away. But he was determined to honor her dying wish and take her to Graceland.
Wait.
So instead of taking her home or to a hospital.
He played Weekend with Birdie.
He took Roberta's dead body to Graceland. Like any good husband of 53 years would do.
I mean, he just took that body right to Graceland. It's Weekend at Roberta's.
And after they went to Graceland, he really felt deeply that he wanted her to spend the rest of her days in nature. So he threw her off the side of
the road. No, it's not how she wanted it. She didn't want it. She didn't want that.
That is what she wanted. To be in nature.
She did not want to be thrown off a bridge. That is not her dying wish.
Listen, he threw her off the side of the I-40. But he can't remember if it was the Kentucky River or the Tennessee River. One of the two.
Well, they all look the same.
Because he was in shock. You know, he just wanted her to be safe in nature.
He wanted her to live out the rest of her deadness.
He said, I didn't know what to do.
Riding out in the nature under a bridge.
So police say, hey, Philip, why don't you come on down to the station with us? Hey, Philip. Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Phil.
Why don't you just not even grab your toothbrush? Because we're going to issue one of those
We're going to give you a polygraph test.
Polygraph? I'd have just given him a Valium and put him in a cell.
We're going to see how you do on the polygraph. Well, he didn't do good.
Really?
He just did not do good at all.
You know, it's that brain aneurysm.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Well, listen to me. They had to let him go because they don't have a body.
They don't
know what happened to Roberta. She could be live somewhere. They don't know.
He could be lying about throwing her off the
bridge.
That's
right. But Philip was distraught. He is distraught over this whole thing.
Of course he is.
So he goes home, and a couple weeks after he gets back to his house, he tries to commit suicide by taking pills. And he left a note for his son. And it says, Dear Kenny, I did not kill your mother. Yours, Dad.
Yours?
Yours.
Yours.
Or maybe it said your dad.
Your dad?
You know.
Either way, it's dumb.
It's silly.
It's stupid.
It's just silly.
What, did he take a bunch of Flintstone vitamins?
They were not specific.
Yeah.
But it was enough to get him a nice
20 vitamin E and tried to kill myself.
That's right. But it did get him a nice stay on a mental ward of a hospital. And guess what happened? He had to give his son power of attorney because he was not mentally capable of having power of attorney.
Well, that's what happens when you're so distraught after taking your woman's dead body to Graceland.
His son has decided, since I have power of attorney, hey, police officers, if you want to go search that house, That'd be just fine with me. So they go in and search the house, and they take a cotillion dog. A cadaver dog.
Can I just stop you real quick? Yeah. Because all I can see in my head is Roberta and with Phil behind her, and he's got her duct taped, like her feet duct taped to his, and he's got his arms around her waist, and they're walking
through together, Graceland.
And she's dead, and he's just taking her to Graceland, and then he like reaches up and turns her head so she can look at different stuff.
I'm pretty sure that's what he did.
And then does that. Like, I'm sure
that's what he did.
And then I guess he had to remove that before he threw her
over. I'm sure it was very easy to get past security at Graceland.
I don't think they have any.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-mm. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely.
If he says it's my wife's dying wish and she died on the way and we're still here,
right.
So I might as well just see her. And, you know, I don't want to pay admission for two of us, one's dead.
Well, you can see the gates and the house from the road. You don't even have to pull in if you don't want to. You can just pull up, and the gates are there, and, you know, it's signed by everybody. And the house is just a normal house. It's not like a huge mansion. It is way smaller than most of the houses in Charleston.
Well, I'm not surprised about that at all, because we've got some big ones here.
Yeah. So, I mean, he could have just driven her up. We don't know.
That would have been the better place to leave her in nature, like right by the gates of Graceland.
Oh, gosh. Wouldn't that have been lovely?
Just prop her up.
If that's where she really wanted to be.
Yeah. If that was actually her dying wish.
Yes.
Which I don't even think that one.
So the police get there to the house, and they release this dog. And the dog immediately runs to the basement and sits beside a red Rubbermaid bin.
A red bin in the basement. No. No.
He does.
He did it.
And inside that bin, they opened the bin and there was a smell.
Mm-mm.
And they went upstairs and told the son, there's a red bin downstairs
in the basement and there's a smell. It's my lunch hour. I'll be back in a little bit.
Right. They were telling the son that there is an odor that comes out. We don't know what it is. We don't know what your mama kept in those bins.
We don't know what your mama smells like dead.
Right.
It could be her. Or it could be some ambrosia that went bad in the basement.
Maybe I hid those Christmas cookies and they have gone awry. The fruitcake.
The fruitcake has gone awry.
Yes. I mean,
it's all fuzzy.
Not that a cadaver dog is going to pick up on dead. But I don't
know.
It could be.
Dead is dead, right?
Or mincemeat. If you made a mincemeat pie and really put meat in it, then that's like a pork product or whatever.
And it could go awry.
It could. Very, very much so.
Something has gone south. But that's not what was in that bin.
Inside that bin was a bloody shirt that belonged to Roberta and a towel. It happened to be her favorite shirt, too.
I thought you were going to say her favorite towel. I'm like, well, everybody has one. They just don't want to talk about it.
Right. And so, you know, there's no Roberta, so there's no DNA for Roberta. So they had to do familial DNA.
With her children?
With her children and her sister.
Oh, Lord, Roberta's sister has to give some DNA.
Yes.
I'd have been distraught, Sugar. If that were me giving DNA for you, I'd have been just distraught.
Mm. Yeah, you'd have said, mm-mm.
I'd have said, no, I can't do it.
I've got some things in my past that don't have anything to do with my sister.
Yep. And I feel like if I give you my DNA, that something is going to go awry.
You're going to have to get it somewhere.
Something's going to spoil.
Check with her brother.
See if her brother is back from the ball and see if he should give you. And he'd be like, nah, I can't do that neither. We're going to have to get it from your son.
Thankfully, the DNA testing did prove that it was, in fact, Roberta's blood.
Okay.
Now, again, at this point,
we don't know where
she is. She could have cut her finger.
She could have had a gardening accident.
And accidentally packed her shirt away with the Christmas decorations.
I mean, I've done that. It's red.
You don't know.
It's Christmas red. You can get confused. You've done that? No.
You've packed a bloody shirt
away?
Well,
I mean, I could see how it could happen.
Really?
I've never done
it. No, because when you get blood on your shirt, you take it off and you try to get it out in the laundry, or you throw the darn thing away.
Maybe it got put in the laundry and then I was packing and I was like, oh, I'll just wash this next Christmas and thought it was a hand towel.
No, and listen.
No.
If there is a smell coming out of a bin, it's not just blood. There's something else going on in that bin.
Yeah, they didn't keep it.
There's
keep
some
a clean
other
bin.
Fluid. Some other fluid that
they
is
did not
this.
Keep a clean bin. I'm just saying.
Inside that bin, and I'm hoping they didn't get it from Walmart and it didn't come like that.
Oh my Lord. That could be bad.
I may never buy a red bin again. Only clear plastic for me, y'all.
Clear plastic. That's me too.
So after they find the blood-soaked shirt and the maybe a piece of a pillow or something in a plastic bag that had blood on it, they call Philip and said,
We need to talk to you some more about this, Roberta.
At the mental hospital?
Again, we're still... No, no, he's out. He's out of
he's
the
hospital. He's out
now. Oh, wait, no, he was in the hospital.
Yeah, because his son said... Is his son's name Travis?
Kenny.
It's very similar.
He has two sons, but I think the only one I really saw interaction with was Kenny.
Okay.
Anyway, they say, listen, we got to find out more about what the heck happened to Roberta, because you're not telling the truth, and we have now come across some of Roberta's bloody items in your home.
In all seriousness, can you imagine how distraught her children are at this point?
Her children are extremely distraught.
Beside themselves.
Numb, even, to the point of, I don't know what to think.
And was Phil their daddy?
Yeah.
Their diddy?
Yes.
That was their diddy?
Yes.
So they're like, what has happened, Papa?
Diddy.
Diddy, what'd you do, Diddy?
Now, Philip and Roberta, if I recall correctly, met when they were young. They were young.
I mean, they were married a baby,
young. Like, she might have been around 16 when she had her first baby.
Heavens, Roberta.
So they had been together for a very long time and maybe didn't have the tightest of relationships. They weren't especially close
all
the time. But they hung in there for 53 years. You would have thought there would have been a level of respect.
There should be a prize, not a bloody shirt and a bin.
Yeah. So they start questioning Philip, and he says, all right, I'm going to tell you the truth.
I'm going to tell you one more truth.
I'm going to tell you the truth.
This is the real truth.
First and foremost, I did not harm Roberta. Kenny, I did not hurt
Kenny,
your mama.
Yours.
I did not harm her.
No.
But I will tell you that Roberta died in the house.
She died somewhere around here.
She died in the house.
It's like when we look for sea glass. There's a piece of sea glass somewhere around
here. Right.
Well,
somewhere,
Roberta died somewhere in this
in
area.
The house, Roberta died.
She has passed.
Right. And I took her and I placed her nicely in the Tennessee River.
Nicely?
I so didn't he throw no her off throw a her bridge. Off. I her laid her nicely in the water.
Oh, that's so special.
Yes, that's what I did.
I wonder if he sang her a lullaby as he laid her in the water.
I don't know what their wedding song was, but that he might
have whistled that tune, maybe.
But what he did not know is they had been dredging that Tennessee River. Trouty.
Can you give him wine?
I don't think I'm allowed to give a dog wine.
That's too bad.
I can't imagine why he's crying right now, but we can pause. And I can take care of him, and we can pick up where I left off.
No, just keep going. We're just going to trudge through this with Roberta.
Okay. It's not too much further.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay, yeah. So, okay, Roberta has died somewhere in the house. I laid her gently in the Tennessee River. But police had for weeks now been dredging that Tennessee River, and there was nobody. There was not
a
shoe.
This man can't tell the truth if it literally is tattooed on his tongue.
There is nothing. There is no Roberta in the Tennessee River. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, my gosh.
It doesn't make any sense.
This man does not know how to tell the truth.
Well, the police were very frustrated.
You think?
Because Philip kept changing his story.
And so were the children.
He probably told five different
stories. The children have to be so mad at this point.
And they kept telling him, Dad, just tell the truth.
Just tell us what happened.
And every time he'd say, this is the truth.
Yeah, and he don't know.
Trout, stop talking to honey. Stop. Enough. Goodness.
Can you all hear him?
We're going to have to pause.
That's the most pathetic thing I've ever heard. Please hold so we can get him some medication.
Pause and figure out what's happening.
Please.
What's my dog?
Hold on.
Hello, and welcome to Once Upon a Nightmare, your horror movie podcast. I am your host, Lorraine, and I'm here to chat about the fictional horrors of the world, with some real horror thrown in. So if I want that true crime fix, I can just find a film based on actual events and chat about that. Still a horror movie.
Loophole!
I have had what some would call an unhealthy obsession with the horrors of the world for well over 30 years now, real and fictional. So if any of that piques your interest, you can find me on your podcast platform of choice. And of course, don't forget to rate and review and subscribe. I'd really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Well, we're back, and we're hoping that all the issues with the dog have been solved. Not sure, but only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
All right, so here we are.
Here we are. We are here.
Let me tell you where we are in the story.
I just need to know where Roberta
are. Roberta's missing. That's the police thing. Believe that Roberta has been killed and that...
That's probably a good assumption at this point because Phil can't find the truth.
Right. But they don't have a body. So they can't arrest him. They could have arrested him
on suspicion of foul something.
What's that thing about the corpse?
Oh, tampering with the corpse?
You're doing something bad to a dead body, right?
Desecration?
Gross abuse of? Of corpse.
Gross.
Because he said that he took her and dumped her, right? They could charge him with that.
Yeah.
But they need to get him on something better than that.
And some medication.
Yeah. And they're at a loss at this point. The police department, it's a very small town, and they don't know what to do. Not that it mattered it was a small town, because the police certainly did handle it very well.
Yeah. No, the only problem I can see right now is Phil.
Phil is a problem.
He's the problem.
Phil is a problem.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
What?
This lovely lady named Joan was a police officer.
Okay.
And she had been out on leave for a while.
Uh-huh.
She has 6 kids.
Well, no wonder she was on leave.
She'd been a police officer for 20 years.
Well, God bless her
soul. She was ready to come back in and get back to work as a police officer.
Okay.
So she checks in with the chief of police in Hartville because she had heard about the story.
Yeah.
And said, what can I do to help?
Okay.
And they came up with a great plan for her to go undercover and try to befriend Phil.
Oh, he might be lonely by now.
What Phil enjoyed to do. What he enjoyed to do was to meet up with his...
I laughed and took a sip at the same time I blew a big bubble in my drink.
I'm sorry y'all don't have video to see that. Oh
oopsie daisy.
So Philip, like the people in Franklin, you know, when we were growing up, all the men used to meet up at Hardee's or Dairy Queen.
Oh, yeah, for breakfast.
Yes, and they did that in Hartville, too.
It's a tradition.
Yes, so in goes Missy.
Missy.
As an undercover agent, she goes in and she acts like she's from out of town. She's come to town to take care of her ailing mother. She's actually from a town... Just outside of Hartville. So it makes sense that she would come there, but it makes also sense that you might not know her mama.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And she is an absolute genius. This woman is a genius.
Okay.
She comes in, she's very upbeat. She's like, hey, I heard this is the best place to get coffee. And of course, all the older gentlemen are like, oh, yeah, because she's young and pretty. And
they're falling all over her.
Yes, they are. And, you know, they want to talk to her. And she starts getting friendly with Phil.
Well, he's recently been single.
Well, and there are a lot of people who tell her, you know, his wife is missing. Like, saying, you better watch out. Right. I don't know what you're doing hanging out with Phil, because his wife is missing.
Phil might be bad news.
He might be bad news.
Could be.
But Missy works, and she works, and for weeks upon weeks, and for many, many, many meetups for coffee and meals. And
she's probably like, I cannot drink another cup of coffee.
And he would order her coffee and have it waiting for her, and she would do the same for him. And sometimes they just sat and played cards, because she said she didn't like the day nurse that came in to take care of her mother. So when that nurse came on, she said, I just have to leave because I'm going to kill her.
Oh, God.
And she even comes up with a story about how she hates her mother and she's ready for her to die.
Oh, dear. Right. Yeah, because then Phil might feel the
same.
That's
right.
He might say, I feel ya. Yeah.
And it is an absolute cat and mouse game. Back and forth. And she never cracks. She never pushes. She never does anything.
Yeah.
And she finally gets into a point where he will say, he will describe a certain situation, then he'll say, oh, that's just a scenario. So it's like he gets her right to the end where this is what you should do to your mom, but this is just a scenario. And he's even at this point offering to help her off the mother so she gets away with it.
Mm-mm.
And it got to a point
where you're a very bad man.
It wasn't a sexual boyfriend-girlfriend type of situation, but he did say, you know, if you were to marry me, you couldn't testify against me in a court of law, and then I could tell you some things, right? And she said, well, if I'm going to marry you, I want to know what happened to your wife before I marry you.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. If you tell me, though.
Right.
We'll plan that wedding.
Well, he fell for it. He was mesmerized by Missy, and he really thought he had a shot, that he was going to fool her into marrying him, and they were going to eventually fall in love and get frisky, as he would call it.
Oh, what? He called it getting frisky?
Yep. Yep.
Dirty Phil.
He said, we could get married. It doesn't have to be anything frisky. But you know he wanted to be frisky.
Oh, you know he wanted to be frisky.
Oh, yeah. So, Philip ended up confessing. One morning in January, which was early January, because the last time that Roberta had been seen was on New Year's Day.
Okay.
Philip got up. He went to Burger King for his morning coffee.
Okay.
When he came home, Roberta was sleeping on the sofa, and he didn't snap. He said he didn't get angry. They had been arguing, which is why she was sleeping on the sofa. And he just simply walked down to the basement, grabbed a sledgehammer.
Excuse me?
Well, they call it a nail hammer, but it is a sledgehammer that drives in. It's a hammer that drives a nail into, like, a big nail. So it would be a sledgehammer. Right. He grabbed a sledgehammer, walked back upstairs, took a piece of cloth or something that was nearby, laid it over her face, and hit her 2 times in the head. He then tied a plastic bag around her neck, which is the bag that they found in the bin, covered with blood, and the cloth, the piece of cloth, you know, I said there was a little piece of, yes. And he tied that around her neck, and then he went downstairs. And Roberta was a big crafter.
Okay.
She was really into the scrapbooking, and so she had a huge spot down in her basement where she did crafting projects. Yeah. She also had a big plastic tarp down there.
Oh, don't ever keep a plastic tarp. Don't ever do it.
That he brought upstairs and laid down next to the sofa where he had killed her and rolled the body off the sofa onto that plastic tarp. He then took that hammer, the piece of cloth, a shirt, and wrapped it in a shirt and put it in a bin.
Oh, yeah. Right. The red bin.
Then he went back upstairs and he put Roberta in a bin. He put her body in a bin. And he put that bin in the back of his truck. That's right. He
was
did.
Was it a red bin?
I don't know what color that bin
was. I don't
was.
Think it was clear.
I don't think it was a clear bin. It could have been red. It could have been green. Because there had recently been a holiday of Christmas.
That's what I'm thinking.
Of Christmas close by.
Yeah.
So, that's what he did. He whacked her in the head and... he said he just had had enough. He just had enough.
He had it.
He had enough. So they got him.
She was sleeping.
Yeah.
And he just went downstairs and got a huge hammer.
Yes.
And clobbered her.
Correct. Whacked her. He whacked her.
Did he use the term whack?
Yes.
And then he put her in a bin?
He did. And then he put her in the back of the truck.
So, okay. Let's go over this.
Okay.
Never, ever buy a tarp. No. Don't buy it. Don't keep it at your house. It's bad news. It invites trouble.
Right.
Don't have empty bins. Make them clean out a bin. Because that's going to get
noticed. Why you got this big pile of Christmas ornaments and lights.
Or why are all these books in this corner when they used to be in the bin marked books?
Right.
See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then, for whatever reason, you probably should never, ever, ever get some kind of a big clobbering size nail.
Right. A hammer. Like a clamp.
Not a nail, a hammer.
Sledgehammer.
Yeah. Sledgehammer.
Look at that. We're getting to the end. I'm almost done. I'm almost done with this story.
And the nice thing is the pie bars are coming out.
I'm going to check my pie bars.
I hope they're coming out because I'm ready to eat them.
Well, they have to cool for 2 hours, so you have to come back later.
Excuse me? It's late at night. I'll be sleeping. I think that that can be overlooked.
Listen, whoever had it, why would you chill an apple pie bar? Why?
Why wouldn't you just eat it warm?
Eat it.
Eat it.
They are finally done. I'm going to pull them out.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody can hear me anymore because I'm way over in the kitchen and the microphone is in the other room.
They can hear you, Sugar. They can hear you loud and clear.
Pull them out. And then for this recipe, I got it from Sally's Baking Addiction.
Of course, because we're addicted to Sally's Addiction.
Oh, gosh, she does have the best recipes.
But she sure does.
But for this particular recipe, she gives you a recipe for salted caramel that she says is to die for.
To die.
I tried to make it one time and nearly set my house on fire. So I found a much easier salted caramel recipe.
We need tutoring, Sally.
We do. It didn't go well. It just didn't go well.
Okay.
I mean, and it was really quick the way it turned.
It turned fast.
It went from like amber to black very quickly.
Oh, no. So, that doesn't sound like it went from amber to onyx.
It was bad. It was bad. So we'll let those cool.
Smoked caramel.
Yeah. I had to throw that away.
Okay.
All right. So Philip is charged with aggravated murder, gross abuse of a corpse, and evidence tampering.
Okay.
And a plea deal because, you know, they know what happened now, but they still don't know where Roberta is. Right. In a plea deal, Philip agreed to show police where he dumped Roberta's body. In exchange, 73-year-old Philip was sentenced to life in prison with the chance of parole after 20 years. He'd be 93.
That's fine.
Right.
And that's a chance.
Police took Philip took the police on a wild goose chase because he couldn't remember where he put Roberta. He couldn't remember.
That's not okay.
And finally, they got on an exit. And finally, he said, "This is it. This is it. It was a dumpster by a restaurant in Kentucky." I don't know if he actually went to Graceland or just went. I think probably he just went to the Days Inn just to say.
I think he's just milling around.
Yeah, I did this, and this is what happened. And
I think he was wondering. He was just
may have been.
I don't know.
Or maybe he said, I killed my wife. I always wanted to go to Graceland. She didn't want to go.
And she hated Graceland.
Going.
So now I'm going.
Maybe. I don't know. And I don't know at what point. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know at what point he got rid of the body. Did he get rid of the body leaving Ohio? Or did he get rid of the body coming back from Tennessee? I don't know.
Who knows?
Either way.
They did find her.
He dumped her body into a dumpster. And it had been many months had passed. And the police found out where the dumpster was emptied, what landfill it went to. And they went to the landfill and they talked to the man out there. And he said, listen, too much time has passed. You are never going to find her. You're never going to find her.
That's so sad.
But the police officers that were there said you could feel it. You knew she was there.
She was like... I'm here.
Yeah. So she was never found.
Are you kidding?
She was
never
found.
But then he shouldn't have gotten the plea deal.
I agree with that.
I don't think he should have gotten the plea deal.
I don't think he should have either, but that's what happened. And they wanted her kids wanted him to take the plea deal because they didn't want to go through a court trial.
Of course.
They didn't want to have to go through all of this stuff all over again. They've been living it.
Yeah.
They had been living it.
I'm sure I understand. Maybe just don't go to the trial then.
Right.
Because I don't think he should have gotten the plea deal.
I agree. I could not agree with you more, but that's what happened.
Just convict him on the confession.
Roberta's sons did set up a memorial fund in her name through the Stark Community Foundation. Proceeds from that fund go to victims of domestic violence.
Okay.
We'll put a link in our show notes for that.
Okay.
I got the majority of the information for this story from charlieproject.org, and I watched a documentary that is on Discovery Plus called When Philip Met Missy.
Are you kidding? There's
and
a
it
documentary
shows
on
all
it?
Of that, all of the whole thing between Missy
yeah.
and Philip meeting up at their restaurants and the conversations
oh
they,
my gosh.
And the brilliance behind her.
Yeah.
The absolute brilliance.
I hope she got like a huge
oh,
raise
I
and
too.
Award or reward
I
or
too.
Whatever one of those.
Well,
you
I
get.
Know one thing she has, and that is a very thankful family of Roberta.
I'm sure.
And I would be willing to bet that's probably more than enough for her.
I'm sure.
Just having seen her.
Like some babysitters for those six kids.
Oh, God, I know.
Yeah.
At the time, the oldest one was 14, though. I think she was
maybe
in good
college
shape.
Fund. She could have gotten college fund.
She could.
But
No, not the oldest one. Maybe the youngest
she
one.
She should just run for mayor of that town.
Whatever. She, yeah. Definitely a king of the city, a statue of some sort.
Seriously.
Oh, we don't do statues anemore.
That would be a good one, though. That's a good statue.
Tree, like a park. Oh, a lovely park.
Yes, a park.
Yes. Joan, if you're out there, you think you should get a park.
And they can put a Roberta tree in
the
park.
You get a park with a Roberta tree.
Yeah. We have such great ideas. Any other city planners out there that need ideas, just give us a call.
Look us up. Mm-hmm. Look us up. All right. That is the story of poor Roberta
R.I.P.
Snodder.
Roberta Snodder. Yes. R.I.P.
Yes. Mm. Yes. My God.
And that Philip, that's just mean. That's a mean husband thing to do.
He is a very, very bad man. He's a very bad man.
Who has trouble with the truth.
And I hope that he dreams of big hammers every night.
Oh, I hope there's big hammers involved.
Mama's here. That's it. Dreaming of hammers at the end.
That's it. That's all we're doing.
That's it. Hi, we made it through. There's our first episode back since October.
Excited. We have a lot of things in the works that are just going to be very exciting for everybody.
We really do.
The first thing that we want to talk about, though, is the fact that we have social media.
Oh, my gosh. We still have social media, y'all. Even though you haven't heard from us or we've been doing the October and we don't remind you of it, it's still there.
It's there.
It's there. And guess what we're looking for? Recipes. We're looking for recipes.
We want recipes. Yes.
Thanksgiving, whatever your traditional Thanksgiving, whatever it is.
It doesn't have to be a dessert.
It can be
a side dish.
Don't send us haggis.
We're not doing haggis.
I'm not doing weird
meats. Don't do any kind of weird stuff.
Don't make me do something that's going to make me vomit.
No, don't be mean.
That's not okay.
So, but, you know, if y'all have any kind of recipes like side dishes or some kind of a Thanksgiving tradition that you always look forward to every year, or maybe when you were a kid, somebody made this for you every year, and now that you're an adult, nobody makes it for you.
Yes.
And then show you a picture of it. That's as good as we can
Then we'll eat it for you.
And we will eat it for you, and we will tell you how good it is.
Guess what else, people? Our Killa Vanilla is ready.
It's ready.
So if you want to buy some Killa Vanilla, you need to email us ASAP.
Because we have email.
We have email. What is that email, Sugar?
It's murder.sugarcoated@gmail.com.
There you go. That's exactly what it is.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
And if you want the Killa Vanilla. You can find us on Instagram at sugarcoatedmurder.
Oh, yeah.
You can find us on Twitter at sugarmurder.
Sugarmurder.
You can find us on Facebook at all the face, you know, Sugarcoated Murder Podcast. We have a regular page and a fan page, and the fan page is a lot of fun.
Oh, my goodness. And in our travels around in October for October, we ended up in the Outer Banks, and we were going to do some kind of a story from there, but we just never got around to it. But I'll tell you what we did. We got to meet Lauren, our friend Lauren.
Oh, my gosh. We did. So we have a really, I will say, an avid listener. Let's call her an avid listener. And she was at a party that we attended. And we got a picture taken with her.
We loved her so much. We invited her to Thanksgiving, y'all.
We did. We invited her right to Thanksgiving.
We did.
So we love you, Lauren.
We do.
And Kimberly. Kimberly made some of the coolest dessert things. She made red velvet skull cakes that were amazing. They were individuals. But the cigarettes and the ashtray, she took half pretzel rods, dipped them in white chocolate, but left a little bit of the end because, you know, you got to have the filter in the cigarette. And then what was the crushed up Oreos, I think?
She did some crushed up Oreos, but even better, on some of them in the end, she did like a red sprinkle so it looked like it was lit.
So it looked lit. It was, and she brought it in and she laid them in these big ashtrays. It was
adorable. Amazing.
So, yeah, and we met a lot of other people that night, of which I cannot remember anybody's name, but we sure loved them.
We did.
We just absolutely did.
It was a good time.
It was a good time.
And we felt very loved, and it was just, it was a joy.
Yes.
So thank you so much for that. Yeah. If anybody else is having a party they want us to attend, you know, just let us know.
Because we like a party.
We do enjoy a party with food.
Yes. The bar is finally cooled enough for us to eat them, and we did not want to end this without eating them.
Well, we had to tell you how it was.
Well, and I'm just saying eating them alive. I just can't think of any other words because I'm trying to cram this into my
pie. They're so good. They really do taste like apple pie.
Oh my God, it's a little hot.
They're so good. There goes sugar with the mouth open. Okay.
It's so good.
Okay. Very good. Very good. All right. Good. Well, all right. Try the recipe. We'll put it out there. Sally's Baking Addiction.
Yeah. Email us the recipe. We don't automatically just put it out there. I don't know where she thinks I'm putting it. All right, guys. Well, I want y'all to just stay sweet and don't murder.
Because if you kill people, we will talk about you. And it will not be nice.
No, we're going to call you ugly names.
Yeah. We might even come hit you with bologna in prison.
That's right. Because we always look up where the prisoners are.
We do.
All right, guys.
Bye.
Well, you all stay sweet and stay safe. And we'll see you next time.
Have a good week. Bye now.
Bye, y'all.
This has been Sugar Coated Murder Podcast, a deliciously entertaining true crime podcast. Like what you heard? You can always explore past episodes by visiting sugarcoatedpod.com. Don't forget to like our Facebook fan page and share with friends. Thanks for listening to Sugar Coated Murder Podcast.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.